And happy Humboldt to you all. This is Humboldt Holding Up, the Lost Coast Outpost podcast attempt via Zoom. We don't know what we're doing, but that's fine. We'll get through this. My name is Andrew Goff.
And I'm Stephanie McGarry. And gosh, we've been doing this for a while now. We've had peaks and valleys. It's been quite a journey since like March.
Yeah, remember March?
When the snow came down. Now we're deep into the summer. We've been able to do fun summer things. Golf.
I went to my secret river spot this last weekend.
Ooh, secret. Are you going to tell everybody listening about this secret river spot?
I feel like I should, but I'm not going to. Okay. This week we are joined by the interim Eureka City Manager, Miles Slattery. You know, everything's crazy, everything's messed up, but the functions that a city performs, they still got to get done. And that's Miles' job, is making sure that the city of Eureka continues to function. And so we're going to see how he's doing. Miles, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Pam.
Pam is rocking it today.
Hey, Pam. Thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime.
Yeah.
So
I didn't change my user since the last time.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to change the name because it's her account, so she'd probably get mad. I should just put it as City of Eureka, maybe.
We are joined by interim Eureka City Manager, Miles Slattery. Hi, Miles.
Hello, hello. How are you guys?
Good, good. And I've got to say, what a wild series of events for you to quickly catch everyone up. I was at the event, actually, at the Wharfinger last October, where all the city manager candidates got up and they pitched their resumes. If my memory serves, you were the only candidate who received whoops from the crowd, so take from that what you will. The city ultimately went in a different direction at that time, but the guy they ended up hiring lasted all of 4 months, so when called upon, you agreed to move from being community services director to interim city manager. But I have to imagine that the job you now find yourself in is not the one you thought you were applying for now that we find ourselves in the middle of a global pandemic. So having been on the job for a little over a month, what does it mean to be Eureka City Manager in the COVID era?
Well, I mean, you're still doing the same type of management things. Obviously, the finances and the effects on our businesses are, you know, a huge concern right now. And so that's a lot of our efforts are being concentrated on trying to help out those businesses. We've got a lot of programs in place. We have some funding that we have currently that we're working on, trying to develop programs so that these businesses can benefit from that funding. The pandemic is what it is, and it's definitely going to be a game changer. It's affected, you know, not only our businesses, but obviously our general fund is significantly impacted. We had to take some serious cuts during this upcoming fiscal year. We're in the middle of the extension of an existing tax measure, all of those things. And what's unfortunate is even prior to the pandemic, we were seeing decreased revenues, you know, that were less than our projections at the beginning of the fiscal year. So we were already at a deficit, and this just compounded that by almost double. So yeah, it's difficult, but that's what they hire us here to do. And I think that some of the stuff that we've done in community services and outside the box thinking of different revenue sources, different ways of doing things with less, I think that our staff throughout the city are used to doing that. And I think we're up for the task.
Well, so you mentioned this, you know, that of course the Eureka, like, you know, most cities right now is, being forced to make some really drastic budget cuts, and that the council recently approved the tax measure extension for the November ballot, and it seems like there's a lot of public support for it. But you know, what is the city's contingency plan here if this measure weren't to pass?
I mean, it's really hard to tell. You know, we've gotten updated. We work with a consulting firm, HDL, and we get updated projections for sales tax revenue, and they have fluctuated drastically. Obviously, when the pandemic first started, there was a pretty bleak outlook, and then as it lasted through a quarter, it was even worse after that. But the more recent ones we've gotten have looked a little bit more positive. So it's very difficult to say. I know that, you know, through the polling that we had done, it's, you know, when you come up with these challenges, they kind of provide opportunities. I think that, you know, we did polling just prior to the pandemic and we had a pretty favorable rating and positive response towards the extension of the tax measure. After the pandemic started, we did another round of polling and it actually increased with the more favorable support of the measure. And so, you know, that challenge has made people realize that, you know, local economic sustainability is really important. And I think that that's, you know, there's a definite understanding by those that were polled that the city is in need of funding. It's been pretty clear that we're not going to get any support from the state or the federal government. A lot of those funds during this pandemic are going to much larger municipalities. And so, you know, this pandemic has kind of created an, I don't want to call it an opportunity, but it's definitely something that, you know, the challenge isn't, you know, it makes people realize how important it is for us to be able to maintain our services locally without the support of outside agencies. You know, if it doesn't pass, you know, once again, we've been creative. We're going to do our best to maintain the services that we have and do more with less. I think we're looking at alternative ways for response to some of the calls for service at EPD, and that may even go into the fire department as well, to look at creative ways of having you know, adequate response with less cost. And so we'll look at everything possible when we get to there.
Yeah. And of course, you know, even with the cuts, There are a lot of projects that where funding is already in place, and as a community services guy, you know a lot about this. But we're kind of curious, you know, how the pandemic has affected the prioritization of projects like this. Like, with is there more of a focus on projects that promote socially distant activities like trails versus, say, parks, you know? Or
so, unfortunately, the money that you get is earmarked for a specific thing. You know, we received a lot of funding from not only the local lodging alliances, but also federal and state agencies for the Skywalk that's being built right now. Yeah. There's time frames that need to be met for those funding, so, you know, even though we know that we got to be very careful about promoting the Skywalk during this time, which we are, we still have to meet deadlines in order to get it completed. So that's moving forward. We're looking at, you know, hopefully late September, early October finish of that, you know, at a minimum, because it's an outdoor zoo, at least the locals can enjoy the new facility, and actually maybe it'll count better because they'll have more of an opportunity to experience it themselves for the first time than dealing with a lot of people from out of the area, depending on where we're at in the pandemic at that time. One of the things, you know, and then we got the $6 million grant for 2030 Park. That's moving forward. We're going out to an RFQ for that. That's going to make a huge difference in that community there. There will be walking trails associated with that. And right now tennis is allowed, so there'll be new tennis courts and pickleball courts that'll be there as well. So, and baseball got pretty close to opening. It's not quite there yet, though, but that's definitely one of the things that will be improved at that park too. So even though we're in the pandemic, there'll be components of that park that'll definitely be usable, at least in the shelter in place phase that we're in right now. The best things I think that we've done, especially during this time, is kind of the social services grants that we've received in partnership with community services and EPD. They've gotten a little over in all grants told, this isn't specific, but I think it's over $1.5 million that has supported some of the stuff that our Uplift and CSET crews are doing as far as helping out community members experiencing homelessness. Our partnership with DHHS has really blossomed over the last couple of years, and they've been very supportive of our programming, and I think that's making a huge difference for not only those community members, but also for the city and the businesses that are experiencing, you know, some of the side effects of that. But I think that, you know, those grants have been really helpful during this time, and we're continuing with those. And when I became interim city manager, I moved our CAPE program and Uplift program into economic development, kind of recognizing that that job skills training program, as well as the benefits to the businesses, is kind of an economic development aspect. And so we're working with our new project manager, as well as all of our CAPE staff, to kind of focus on that. And we're also, you know, looking at a shop local type of campaign to, you know, kind of promote, I mean, especially during these times. And even internally, we're starting to implement things that, you know, a lot of our staff try to save the city money. And so they're Amazon junkies. We're trying to get them off the Amazon junkie, even if it costs us more money, it benefits the community. So, grant wise though, but those monies come in for specific projects. Some of the social services funding that we have has a little bit more flexibility. And what's really fortunate about those is they provide money for staffing. And so we're looking at some really innovative programs, a diversion program with EPD and Uplift, where, you know, minor citations can be waived if they participate and reach certain milestones within the Uplift program. That'll help the court systems, that'll help the individuals that are down on their luck, and it's just a better way to address those issues. And then we're also looking at, this isn't official yet, but we're looking at SMART, which is a strategic mobile alternative response team, which would be, rather than having armed officers go and respond to some of the mental health calls that we get, we would have trained Uplift staff go out and respond to those, as opposed to having EPD do that. And there's a lot of opportunities for other types of calls that we can address in the same way. And those grant funds that I'm speaking of are the ones that allowed us to get the trained staff that would be able to go out and do that work.
So I'd imagine you have a pretty good grasp on the people and programs that are really helping our community get through all of this. I'm curious whose energy you see out there that gives you hope. You mentioned a few things already, but from your vantage point, who else has really stepped up to serve people and make things happen during these strained times in Eureka?
I mean, obviously Betty Chin, the Rescue Mission, St. Vinny's de Paul's, for our community members experiencing homelessness, have been huge in this. And that partnership with St. Vinny's and Free Meal, the community has stepped up immensely. There's been, you know, we've provided staff down there to make sure that they can continue to feed people and do it in a safe way. I think that our businesses have been outstanding, and I think we've done a good job of trying to support them. Obviously restaurants and bars are significantly affected by this. And so our public works staff developed a free encroachment permit that allows our businesses to go out on sidewalks. We expanded that to the boardwalk as well as to any public parking lot. And so the Vista Del Mar has taken advantage of that. The Shanty is looking at taking advantage of that and getting a food truck out, as well as a sitting area next to the Shanty and the public parking lot on 3rd and D. We're doing whatever we can to support them. And some of that COVID funding that I spoke about earlier, we have about 160 in one grant, and we have another 300 in another. And, you know, a lot of municipalities and others are using that to offset their costs related to that. We see a much bigger benefit in taking that money and helping out our businesses. And so we're looking at programs to set up outdoor eating areas that would be funded by this grant. And those that are interested, we'd give them free encroachment permits and have a contractor on call that would go out and develop these kind of parklets that would add to their seating areas during these times. And going forward, it'll be beneficial as well. So it won't be just during the pandemic. It'll help them, you know, sustain their business going forward.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that somehow we do in fact bumble our way through this pandemic and emerge from the other side into a world that looks something like the one that we remember. But if you had to venture a guess, how do you think Eureka and Humboldt even will permanently be changed by all of this?
Oh, it's going to be, you know, just from the financial standpoint, the consultants I spoke of earlier, you know, even we may see better projections here and there. You know, we had a pretty good fiscal year as far as revenue in 18 and 19. And they don't see us recovering from this at least for 6 or 7 years. So there's going to be a significant impact on just people's psyche about, you know, whether they want to go into places and how they comfortable they feel about that. We're seeing a lot of that in social media, and we're seeing a lot of that in emails that are sent here. concerns about, you know, people promoting people to come here from outside of the area. We're definitely not doing that. I want to be on record that we are not doing that in any way, shape, or form. Okay. What we're trying to do is promote people to visit those commercial areas, you know, local visitors, people, you know, community members in the Humboldt County area to come to our areas and shop locally and support our businesses. So we've established our community services department, established the Heart of Eureka, which is a scavenger type hunt that gets people down into the Old Town area. We're probably going to be expanding that as well. You know, it's going to impact us for a long time. And I think, you know, like I said, challenges create opportunities. I think these creative, I think, you know, while we may lose some businesses, I think that those new businesses that come in will come in with the idea that it needs to be sustainable during a time like this. And so there'll be creative ways. I mean, just think of the shanty. They're coming up with a food truck and a place to have it outdoors so that they can, you know, still try and sustain their business. So I think those creative things are going to come out of this and they're going to be sustainable, hopefully.
What about for you personally, Miles? How has coronavirus affected you and your family?
It's been tough.
Yeah.
Whew.
Can take a minute.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's been tough. My wife has wife has allergies and asthma, and so I've been living away at a rental here. Her dad is not doing well, and so it's just kind of exacerbated it. It's been tough. I can tell you that personally, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think we'll get through it. We're just trying to be safe. But so yeah, it's been tough, and I'm sure other people are dealing with it too. So yeah, it's been rough. Sorry about that.
No, that's perfectly understandable. As you've been and. What about with your staff? Like, you know, just conducting meetings over Zoom. Does that seem sustainable? And how's everyone that works for the city of Eureka doing in your estimation?
You know, obviously certain things similar to mine people are going through as well. But as far as just the work environment, like I said before, I think that this is creative ways of us being able to, you know, have meetings, and we're being very sensitive to the fact of childcare and those type of things and allowing people to work from home. We're looking at potentially using some of that money from the COVID money to purchase laptops and those type of things so that those employees that can do their job from home are allowed to do so. And then we're looking at alternative schedules, you know, with all the different schools having different ways of coming back to school. We're preparing for that to make sure that childcare concerns are addressed, and even for our field crews doing alternative schedules so that they can still meet their childcare needs and stuff like that. So I think it's been beneficial to in a certain aspect because that we can go, you know, I guess you say normal work way, and then this alternative work way will be established so that when we have issues like this in the future, even if there's not a pandemic, if somebody just personally has a childcare issue, that we have a way of accommodating them.
Yeah. I think like you were saying before, just the way that people are figuring out ways to adapt to this, I think it's really interesting, you know, to now have established these different these alternatives that we can use still in the future. And
well, I'll tell you, we had planned to end with this like lightning round list of fun dumb questions, but I don't know, you want to.
I'm game.
You want to go down that path?
Way to take it into a lighter direction.
Maybe it's for the best that we go that.
Yeah,
probably.
Like, okay. We do have a history for listeners maybe don't know, a bit of a history with having some fun with Miles Slattery.
We are fun people.
And I do just want to say, though, thank you for being real and vulnerable, though.
Yeah,
no problem.
We've always appreciated your candor, Miles.
Yeah, and I definitely have at least once a week a spontaneous just outpouring of emotion and myself for just kind of no reason in particular, for all the reasons. And shit is really hard right now, but we do have a lot of fun things going on in Eureka and cool things. And so to have our fun with you, we're going to start out with a question that has to do with one of the hottest topics in town right now. So who makes the best burger in the city of Eureka?
Me on the barbecue.
Oh, man, what a dodge. Okay. What a dodge.
I'm not a big burger guy when eating out, like mostly because my wife refuses to eat burgers that are made by others. But God, it's tough. I mean, for burgers, I'd go Surfside probably.
Okay. This is a multiple choice or no, multiple answer question.
Actually, you know the place. Yeah, I'd go Surfside. Never mind.
Okay, sticking with Surfside.
Other than my barbecue, you can tell Dixon that I cook a much better hamburger than him, but if I had to pay for one, I'd probably buy his.
Okay. Now you were the community services director for 7 years, so this is a test of your knowledge. Name every one of the city of Eureka's community park facilities and neighborhood parks quickly.
Claire Mayberry Park, Ross Park, 2030 Park, Highland Park, Carson Park, Hammond Park. We have the Komisu Parklet. We have the Coast Guard Cities Parklet. We call them pocket parks, not parklets. And I don't want to miss them. I said, Cooper Gulch, Sequoia Park. Geez, I forgot the biggest ones almost.
Yeah.
You started with the neighborhood hidden ones.
Yes. I believe I hit them all.
No, not even close.
Ross? Really?
You said Ross.
Are you talking about the dog parks?
Well,
Shark Park and the dog park.
Say Halverson Park. You don't count Halverson Park?
I count that as, I guess since it's called the park, we'll give that a park name.
You also didn't say Lunbar Hills Park, though. Okay.
And when I'm thinking parks, I'm thinking of places with facilities. Neither of those parks have any sort of, but I am aware of Lunbar and Halverson Park, believe me.
All right, I will give you full credit on a technicality.
It's not a park if it doesn't have facilities.
Well, I will say that Lunbar Hills is one that doesn't, at least Halverson Park has a trail that goes through it. So I'll give you that. I missed that one. And I didn't throw in Sacco Amphitheater. But just as a plug, we are going to be putting facilities at Halverson Park through a donation from an estate. There's going to be a really cool park being installed down there as well. And that's another one of the locally funded parks that'll be there.
We can officially say your knowledge of Eureka Parks is unequaled. Congratulations.
I have a question though about this, because we're always talking about this. What is the deal with the 2030 park name, and why is the city not changing it to something better?
Oh, come on. 2030 goes way back. You're going to insult some people because there's a lot of memories in 2030 Park. But it was like a Rotary Club that were the ones that helped build it initially.
Well, 2030?
Oh, the 2030 part of it? I don't know. I apologize, but I don't know. I know that it was like a Rotary group that helped put it together. They're not around anymore, obviously, but maybe it's like the Masons? I have no idea.
That's a bad name. When everything settles down, we need you to fix that.
Sorry.
The 2030, huh?
Yeah, we need a better name for 2030.
I'm thinking we could use more like 7 million to upgrade it, so we could call it Lost Coast Outpost Park.
Thank you. Yes.
And Sims are willing to donate some money.
I've actually heard a lot of people clamoring for it to be named Lost Coast Outpost Park.
Yeah.
Loco Park.
Yeah, I'm in. All right, next question. We've heard you have a nickname from your past. Who is Zeke
Oh, wow. You're pulling that one. I was called Zeke my whole life. My birth certificate name is Miles Corbett, and then in parentheses was Zeke. And so my parents divorced at a very young age. I haven't seen my dad in forever. It was not a good divorce, and she never liked Miles. Miles was after some guy that was in Route 66, and she never liked that name. So I was always called Zeke growing up. And then when I came up here to college, that changed, probably because of the things that I had done back as named to Zeke. It was probably in the best interest of me. So I've been called Miles since college for the most, well, not since college, but, you know, since my professional life, it's gone back to Miles. But Zeke has been what I was called most of all of my life, and still a lot of people still call me Zeke.
Okay, so again, another community services test of your knowledge. What are the names of the Sequoia Park Zoo's red pandas?
Oh, God, Gretchen's going to shoot me. Oh, man.
10 seconds.
I know Cheyenne is the bird with the bum wing.
Yeah, that's not a panda, Miles.
I know, and I should
know. As long as you know some obscure animal name there. Yeah.
Come on.
Bill the Chimp is not an acceptable answer here.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm drawing a blank. Gretchen's going to – sorry, Gretchen. I apologize.
The correct answers are Stella and Chini.
No, it's not.
It is.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Or Cini. I don't know. Chini, C-I-N-I. Because Masala got shipped off to have panda sex in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's when I remember. Okay. Yeah. I'll give it to you. Well, I guess I wouldn't have known that. I apologize.
Okay. And then finally, you can answer this broadly and philosophically. What is Eureka?
Eureka's the bomb. I've always loved Eureka. Even when I was in college, this was, as you saw in my interview at the Wharfinger, I think the grit of Eureka is my kind of style, and I think that the people of Eureka are my kind of style. I really like Eureka, and I think it's got great character.
So we'll go with the bomb.
The question was, Miles.
A little bit old and lame.
Well, I remind you that the question was, what is Eureka? And the correct answer was, hashtag resilient.
That's true.
Also
no, hashtag
also
resilient
authentic.
Eureka.
Also,
but Steve, it's almost two words, although it is one, but resilient Eureka.
Okay.
Okay, yep.
So
you don't get
credit for that one.
Real, authentic, or different. Those are
yes.
Acceptable.
Now, I can tell you a story, and I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for telling this story, but
there
was a tagline that was going on prior to this pandemic, which I loved until the pandemic came. And it was, once you get here, you get it.
Oh, no. Okay.
but prior to the pandemic, come on, that's pretty good, no?
No.
Once you get...
You got it.
Prior to the pandemic, that's a good
tagline. You're saying that's what Eddie Alexander was considering using before?
Well, there was a bunch of different options that were presented to us, and that was one that I liked a lot.
Once you get here,
and then the pandemic hit, and it was probably not the best idea.
That would have been definitely.
I think the inflection matters. Like, once you get here, you get it.
Written, that does not. Yeah, that's not right. Good.
Well, maybe, yeah. Yes. Well, maybe we'll bring that back after pandemic. Miles, that thus ends our lightning round. I want to thank you for taking time to Zoom with us. Miles Slattery, interim city manager until February 2021, at least.
At least. And
we'll make it permanent, I promise.
Good words.
All right. Thanks again.
Is there anything else you want to say to the people of Eureka and or Humboldt?
Nope. Hang in there. Thank you very much for all the support, and we're going to continue to do what we do and progress Eureka as we have over the at least last 5 years in my consideration. It's getting a lot better, and it's going to go even better after that.
All right.
Right. Well, thanks again, Miles. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you so much to interim and possibly future.
Forever.
And possibly forever city manager Miles Slattery for talking to us today and for just taking some time to be real with us.
Yeah, Miles Slattery, good guy.
thanks everyone for listening. Keep doing what you're doing, washing those hands.
That is if what you're doing is wearing a mask.
Right.
If that's not what you're doing, then do something different.
Don't keep doing that.
Yeah. Thanks, Humboldt, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. She was showing me love.